The X Zone Radio Show with Rob McConnell is largely an opinion talk show. All opinions, comments, or statements of fact expressed by Rob McConnell's guests are strictly their own and are not to be construed as those of the X Zone Radio Show or endorsed in any manner by Rob McConnell, Relmar McConnell Media Company, the X Zone Broadcast Network, its affiliated networks, stations, employees, or advertisers.
All Hit Radio.
Welcome to the X Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
And welcome back to the X Zone, everyone. I am Rob McConnell. We're coming to you from our broadcast center and studios in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. If you would like to send me an email, xzone at xzoneradiotv.com, on all social media sites, X Zone Radio TV. And we're coming to you tonight around the world on Talkstar Radio Network, Mutual Broadcast Network, X Zone Broadcast Network, and Channel 34 on Simul TV. My guest this hour is a gentleman I've had the pleasure of knowing for a number of years and having him on the show a number of years. And he's one of the, if not the best psychic we've ever had on the show. And of course, I'm talking about our good friend, Mark Anthony. And let's bring Mark on, please, Craig. Mark, welcome back to the X Zone. How are you, good sir?
I'm doing great, Rob. Thanks for having me back. I always love the X Zone, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight.
Thanks a lot, Mark. We love having you with us, and congratulations. You were telling me before we went to air, 3 awards. Tell us.
Yeah, I'm very honored and humbled that my latest book, The Afterlife Frequency, has won three major awards. Wow. It won the Coalition of Visionary Resources Award for Best Book in the Reincarnation, Death, and Grief category, Best Holistic Life Award for Inspirational Book of the Year, and it just won the OMI Award, sponsored by OM Times and iSpirit Media, as Best Metaphysical Book of the Year. So this is really, for me, I'm speechless, and that's a rare thing. So I wanted, for everyone who supported me, thank you so much.
I have to ask you, do you miss practicing law?
About as much as one would a root canal without anesthesia.
Just had to throw that one in there.
Yeah, you know, people say, well, you know, do you miss practicing law? I was a trial lawyer. I believe, based on the feedback and the number of cases that I won, that I was very good at what I did. But it came to the point where I had to transition full time into this. Mm-hmm. And so I don't regret by any stretch of the imagination my career as a trial attorney, but I feel that the reason that I'm here is to do what I'm doing as a psychic medium, a near-death experience researcher, a paranormal investigator, and an author. And so that's the focus of my life now.
Mark, as a trial lawyer, did you find that your abilities as a psychic came in handy at times?
Oh, yeah. yeah, they did. Particularly when I was selecting a jury, I would, you know, pick up on things about people. But there's a funny story. I was representing this guy, and he had been arrested for driving under the influence of alcohol. And there's nothing funny about that. And yeah, for everybody out there, if you've had a couple drinks, call an Uber, call a Lyft, call a taxi, call a friend, call a family member. Don't get behind the wheel when you're under the influence. But the thing is, my client, he had all these physical disabilities, and he had this wheezing, like when he breathed, he had this, you know, and he was not, with all due respect to him, he was not an attractive person. He kind of looked like a garden gnome. I mean, he had the beard, and he was just a really long beard, and he was this grizzled guy, and he breathed like, it was kind of like I was representing Quasimodo, okay? And so it went to trial, and the jury ended up being all women, and which is absolutely fine, because women look for things and notice things that guys don't. Mm-hmm. And women are more compassionate, and women seem to listen even more closely to certain things. So the thing is, my client was such a physical wreck that he couldn't do any of the field sobriety tests. He couldn't touch his nose and had like problems with his eyes. So horizontal gaze, nystagmus, and he didn't take the breath test. I think there was a problem with it. Well, then the arresting officer takes the stand, and the arresting officer walks in, and he looks like Tom Cruise from Top Gun, the first one. He's got the chiseled features and the big shiny badge and the uniform. And he takes the witness stand, and he knew how to testify. And every woman on the jury's looking at him going, ah. So I realized this is not okay. This, you know, and I'm sitting next to, you know, Quasimodo here. And so things are not really going well. And so he's testifying that the defendant had bloodshot eyes. The defendant had an odor of alcohol about him. The defendant, blah, 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 you know. And so then it was my turn to cross-examine the police officer. And so I started getting a really strong intuitive feeling that I needed to focus on bloodshot eyes. Now, that's not unusual, Rob, in a DUI defense. And so I said, well, officer, you made a very big deal about my client having bloodshot eyes. Isn't it possible that people with certain medical conditions and problems with their eyes could have bloodshot eyes? And he'd look at the jury and smile, well, I suppose it could. I said, somebody that maybe had been swimming and maybe got chlorine in their eyes had bloodshot eyes. And he said, looks at the jury again, and all the women are like, ooh. And he's like, yes, I suppose it can. And then I heard a voice that said, ask him about crying. And that was a strange thing. And I said, what if somebody's crying? Couldn't they have bloodshot eyes? And he said, well, I've never seen anyone have bloodshot eyes from crying. And it comes right out of my mouth. Well, are you married? And he goes, I never made her cry like that. And then he caught himself. And every woman on the jury he went from Tom Cruise to Count Dracula. They are like that, looking at him, you know. And my client's like, you know, yay, you know. And I knew right then and there, no further questions. So I sat down. Anyway, so we conclude the trial, go closing arguments, and the jury goes out for deliberations. Rob, they came back, I kid you not, in 10 minutes. Normally, it takes them an hour just to pick the four-person, the jury. 10 minutes, not guilty. I have never had that, because I had an intuitive sense. I felt something that this guy, he was the whole package, the shiny badge, the starched uniform, the you know, Top Gun looks. But beyond that, there was a very dark edge to him. And so I could go on and on and on, but I always thought that that's one of the funnier stories
It is. And that, you know, I think I'm going to try and book you into the comedy club down in LA with that one. God.
Yeah, that was a good one.
How was the client after you got him off of the charge?
Oh, he was ecstatic. I mean, he didn't think he was going to win. We didn't, you know, I mean, looking at it, but the thing is, and he wasn't guilty. And right. I'm not just saying that because I was his lawyer, because look, I've represented a lot of people, and you know, the vast majority of them, people always ask, well, how can you represent somebody that you know is guilty? It's like 99.9% of them are, you know, occasionally you get somebody like this guy. And the thing is, you know, in life, he just had a really bad luck of the draw. Yeah. I mean, he was physically not an attractive person. He had severe sinus issues. He had problems with his eyes. I mean, he just, you know, he literally looked like a garden gnome, and he was had this wheezing asthmatic condition. And the arresting officer happened to look like he's photoshopped, you know. And so things like that can happen. But I think the lesson that everybody learned that day is truly don't judge a book by its cover.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Speaking about books, your book, Life Afterlife Frequency.
Yes.
What was your inspiration for that, Mark?
You know, when I was on a another book tour for one of my earlier books, and I was at a paranormal convention. And I'm going to back up a bit.
Sure.
In the first chapter of The Afterlife Frequency, I write about my friend Billy. It's a first chapter. It takes place in Bangkok, Thailand, and it's a really harrowing experience. And if things went any different than the way they did, I would not be here right now. I don't even think I'd be alive. And Billy was the best friend I've ever had. We met when we were 11 years old. We went to junior high school, college together. And after college, I went to law school and he went to Asia. He was working in Japan, teaching Japanese executives conversational English. And who knew when we were growing up that Billy was a linguistics genius? I mean, he taught himself to speak Japanese, Thai, Indonesian, and some Cantonese. And so he invited me to come to Asia, and we traveled through Asia. And I write about some of this in a couple of my books, in Evidence of Eternity and in the new book, The Afterlife Frequency. And, you know, Rob, one of the best days of my life was the day that I performed his wedding ceremony. He met this awesome woman in Japan, and they had their wedding in Florida, and it was outside at this hotel overlooking the ocean. And you know, Rob, I was standing up there and I looked out at the audience, and everybody in the world that I loved was there.
Oh,
my
wow.
Best friend, yeah, his wife whom I love, my parents, his parents, all of the friends that we grew up with from high school, all my fraternity brothers, his, you know, everybody. It was just one of those shining moments in life. And it just, it really doesn't get better than that. And the sad part is Billy grappled with depression and substance alcohol abuse. And I could go into the lengthy, but our entire lives, we had this ongoing debate that even though we were both raised in the Catholic faith, and I believe in the afterlife, obviously, and sure. He didn't. And all through Asia, I'd be going to the Buddhist temples and praying with the monks. And, you know, because that's one of the things that I enjoy doing is studying theology and mystical sites. And we had this entire lifetime discussion, debate, that he would say there is no afterlife. And he'd always say there's no science to prove it. And I said, well, there will be. And the thing is, you know, I argued the other side. And I remember in Asia one time he goes, even though I don't believe in God, you freak me out with that psychic thing because you do stuff. Well, fast forwarding in time, he took his own life. The alcoholism, the depression, caring for a father dying of cancer, a mother with Alzheimer's. Yeah, life just got to be too much. And obviously, I was devastated. And about a year and a half after he died, I was on the Never Letting Go. That's my first book, the Never Letting Go tour. And I was speaking at a paranormal conference. It was in Colorado at the Stanley Hotel. And after my event, we're in the convention center. And so I'm sitting at my table and I'm signing books. And my manager, Rocky, she's walking around looking at all the other exhibits. Well, this is a paranormal convention. So a lot of the ghost hunters were there and they had EVP equipment, K2 meters, and the spirit box. And the spirit box is a device which is supposed to scan the FM and AM radio frequencies to pick up on voices of spirits. So Rocky is walking by this one exhibit, and this guy named Chris was displaying these. And out of the spirit box, she hears, "Get Mark." And she stopped and she looked at it. And the ghost hunter said, "Did that just say something to you?" And she hears, "Get Mark," again. And he goes, "Do you think he means your Mark, Mark Anthony?" And so all of a sudden I hear, "Mark, Mark, get over here." And I look up and Rocky and Chris are like, "Get over here." And there's this crowd forming. So I get up and I run over. I go, "What?" And when I'm walking up to it, all of a sudden I say, "What?" And before I could say something, Rob, out of this box comes, "Dude." And I stopped and I looked at Rocky and a tear was rolling down her face.
Oh, gosh.
She goes, "Mark, that voice." And before I could say the name Billy, I hear it say, "Love you, bro," which was the last thing he ever said to me. in this world. I remember the last time I saw him, he hugged me, goes, love you, bro. And thing is, we're from a surfing culture. He always called me dude and bro, but he said, love you, bro. And it was his voice coming out of that thing. And in the ghost hunter, the paranormal investigator said, this is highly unusual. He said, first off, it called for Mark. Secondly, both of you positively identified the name. And so I was reeling from that experience. And I'm a medium, you know, I'm the one that's used to bringing through information that, you know, get, but now it's happening to me. And then it dawned on me, Rob, the atheist, the best friend I ever had, like my brother, he was like my brother, who said, there's no science, there's no technology to prove this. He chose technology to communicate to me. And it started the wheels turning. And so I decided I need to write a book that explains the scientific basis for all the different forms of spiritual contact. And
all right, so Mark,
that's what did it.
Hate to do this to you, my friend. We've got to take a break. X-Zone Nation, Mark Anthony is our special guest. He used to be the psychic lawyer, but now he's the psychic explorer. Wow, evolution, even in the world of the paranormal. There you go. www.afterlifefrequency.com is his website. And congratulations once again, Mark, on all the awards. And you deserve it, my friend. We'll be back on the other side of the short break. Don't go away. Welcome back, everyone. Mark Anthony is our special guest, afterlifefrequency.com. And Mark, what is the afterlife frequency?
The afterlife frequency is what people refer to as heaven, the other side, nirvana. And the way I describe it is that we know that everything's made of molecules. Molecules are made of electrons, protons, neutrons, or atoms that are made of electrons, protons, and neutrons. And the most basic unit that everything is made of is electromagnetic energy, known as a quantum. That's where the term quantum physics comes from. And so everything from the subatomic level on up has a different vibration and a different frequency. And that's not just corporeal entities like ourselves that have a body. That includes radio waves, gamma rays, everything in the EM spectrum. So to make it simple, think of our world as AM radio, the material world. We have a lower modulation, or rather a lower frequency, a higher modulation. And the other side is FM radio. So that's the afterlife frequency. Okay. And so when we die, we transfer energetically from AM to FM at the afterlife frequency. That's it in a nutshell.
You know, you were talking about that. And as you were talking, I got the strange thought in my mind. Could it be that this is where the Holy Trinity actually comes from? That it's not. Because way back when we had no concept of science, so it was the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Could it actually be electron, neutron, and proton?
Wow, that's a really fascinating way of looking at it. And, you know, I would say that is definitely a way to look at it. Another way to look at it is the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In Hinduism, there is a trinity as well. It is Brahma, the creator, Vishnu, the sustainer of life, and Shiva, the destroyer, which is the birth, death, rebirth cycle.
Right.
And if you look at quantum physics, and we know from the laws of thermodynamics that energy is neither created nor destroyed, only transferred from one form to another. And in a sense, the Father is the creator, the Son is the sustainer, and the Holy Spirit would be the rebirth. So there are many parallels between those concepts and with quantum physics. And I'm glad that you brought that up, Rob, because I have never seen really a divide between faith and science. Because I think there is none.
No.
They're both talking about the same things, but they're using different vernacular and different lenses, if you will, to view it.
Because the people back in history had no concept of science and where science would have led them. So I often wonder how the Bible would have been written if everything happened that happened in the Bible happen today? Would they be looked as miracles? Would they be, would we actually look at the, for example, Sodom and Gomorrah, was it a nuclear attack?
Exactly.
You know, so many different ways of looking at it. But you travel all over the country. Are you finding that there's an increase in awareness and an increase in people who want to know more, who 10, 15 years ago would say that what you and I talk about are from the world of woos, but now, thanks to you, your books, and other authors like yourself, you're touching a nerve. Something is happening.
Well, yes, and this gets back to your earlier question about why I wrote The Afterlife Frequency, because certainly what happened with my friend was a motivating influence. But when I actually sat down and started structuring the book, doing the outline for it, I started thinking, if I wanted to read a book to explain this based on science, what would that book be? Mm-hmm. And the reason that I came to that conclusion, Rob, is for the very reason, the very question that you asked. People want to know. I mean, I've had a lot of people, they say that, well, how does this work? There's got to be a scientific basis for it. And of course there is. And there is an explanation for everything, even the spiritual, and ultimately it is rooted in a scientific explanation, specifically with quantum physics, because everything is about energy, energy transfer, the fact that energy is neither created nor destroyed. Everything has a frequency, and it is communicating with these frequencies, and it is aligning our frequency with a higher vibrational frequency so that we can receive communication from spirits. And it's all based on science. It's not magic. It's not woohoo or hocus pocus. Mm-hmm. And finally, we live in an era where this can be explained.
What about reincarnation? Where does that take us? And what is the connection?
Reincarnation, well, in The Afterlife Frequency, I introduced the concept of the electromagnetic soul. Okay. And the electromagnetic soul describes what we really are, which is pure consciousness. Consciousness is the term used in science and psychology and psychiatry. In faith, we call this a spirit or a soul. And every belief system essentially teaches that the soul pre-exists the body, comes into the body, moves on after the body dies. Mm-hmm. The laws of thermodynamics, energy is neither created nor destroyed, only transferred from one form to another. And it's not just my belief, but people in the realm of near-death experience studies, and also the scientists who are studying survival of consciousness beyond physical death. So the energy of our soul comes into the body, moves on. Now we get to energies neither created nor destroyed, only transferred from one form to another. My electromagnetic soul theory explains reincarnation, because when we die, the body dies, but the EMS, the electromagnetic soul, doesn't. And so it leaves and it goes into the afterlife frequency, and then it returns by attaching to a new host, which is a fetus. And so this is the scientific explanation of that. The fascinating thing is when you look at Hinduism and Buddhism, they essentially say the same things, but through their religious explanations. And of course, both of those religions were developed thousands of years ago. So like you said, you know, we now have the science to be able to explain what people of faith have really known all along.
What are some of the comments you hear from people that you meet who have read your book?
Well, they've generally been very positive. Every now and then, you know, no matter who you are, you're always going to find somebody that wants to pick. And usually they're, you know, and the funny thing is when they start, you know, picking at me, what I like to say is, well, if you ever are able to write a book, please let me know, because then I'll review it. And I'll give you a review on it. Let me tell you, they back off, you know, and it's like, you know, and I don't mean to sound, you know, elitist about it, but my parents taught me, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say
anything at all.
Yeah.
From the good old Walt Disney movie, Bambi.
Yeah.
Yep. Thumper. Remember that?
I do.
Thumper's mother says, and what do we... if you can't say nothing nice, don't say nothing at all. No. Wow, we're showing, well, I'm showing my age.
Yeah, but you know, I'll remember when I was a little kid and I saw Bambi, and when Bambi's mother got shot, and I was probably like 4 years old.
I was destroyed.
Oh my God. Yeah. But you know, it was traumatic and it was terrifying, but it was also teaching children that people we love die. I mean, death is real. Why did Grandpa die? Things like that. I mean, look at J.K. Rowling. You know, people look at the Harry Potter books as just for kids, but a lot of adults, in fact, most of the adults I know have read them. And she came out right away and said, there will be deaths. And because children have to confront and deal with death. And certainly in the work that I do, I know that life doesn't end at physical death. And as my dear friend, Rhonda Schwartz, she's a fellow medium. I love what she says. We have one life and it's eternal. And so we come in and out of physical existence. We enter the material world, we leave, we go to the afterlife frequency, we come back. And the communication between our world and the afterlife frequency, whether it's through mediumship, a visitation that you may have, like you feel the presence or a dream, a near-death experience, a shared death experience, out-of-body experience, deathbed visions, they occur in the zone between the material world and the afterlife frequency. And I call that the NDE zone. In fact, I'm giving a presentation for Spiritual Awakenings International, which is based out of Canada. Spiritual Awakenings International, June 10th and 11th. And this is an online conference, 33 plus speakers from all over the world, and it's free. And if people go to my website, afterlifefrequency.com, go into the calendar of events, June 10th, you can register, and this is a free event. Wow. And Dr. Yvonne Kaysen, she is a near-death experiencer and afterlife researcher. She assembled all of these speakers from all over the world, and I'm very honored to be one of them. And so I'm presenting the NDE Zone, and the subtitle is Connected by the Light, from the cosmic to the subatomic. And so it'll be a lot of fun, really interesting too.
Mark, we've got to go for our break, but I must say life, you know, people fear death. And I think that it's because of people like you and the others who discuss the life after death openly and honestly, that the stigma is starting to be taken away from that experience that we all have. Because from the moment we're conceived, is the moment we start dying in this physical world of ours. Mark Anthony is our special guest, afterlifefrequency.com, and Mark and I will be back after this short break. Don't go away. And welcome back. If you'd like to listen to any of the past shows of any of the shows here on the network, all you need to do is go to www.xzbn.net. Mark Anthony is our guest, afterlifefrequency.com. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to near-death experiences, what, you know, if somebody is dying and they're on their way out, what brings them back, Mark? Instead of having the death, they have the near death.
That is such a profound question, and one that I'm a member of the International Association for Near-Death Studies,
right,
and I'm affiliated as well with the Near-Death Experience Research Foundation, NDERF, and we talk about that. And it comes down to this. You are not supposed to die that day. And it appears, based on the thousands of readings that I've done and the spirits that come forward and tell us, you know, to answer this question, there's a day we're coming in and a day we're going out. And let's say, you know, the day you're going out, people say, well, you know, why did he take his own life? Well, maybe he would have died in a car accident that day, or maybe even be struck by a bolt of lightning. I'm not being facetious about this.
No, of course not.
And so there are circumstances where people get very sick, or they're in an accident, or they drown, or whatever it is. and their electromagnetic soul, their EMS, leaves their body. And I like to say it's like a rubber band. It's like, you know, and it goes right up to that afterlife yep. frequency. And you encounter spirits of loved ones who've died. You encounter many people describe the divine power we call God. And there's several circumstances. But inevitably, for those who come back, it is because it is told to them, it is not your time. In fact, my father had two near-death experiences, both of them, one when he was 16 and one when he was in his late 20s. And you know, obviously, both were way before I was born. And both times, he heard the same voice say to him, "You have to go back. It's not your time."
Wow. The length of time that people have these near-death experiences from those who I've had on the show vary. Some yes. seem to last hours. Others seem to be just, you're not supposed to be here. Get back.
Right.
Why the difference?
When we get to the quantum level, and the reason I keep talking about the quantum level, and because my theory about the electromagnetic soul, and obviously I go into much greater detail in the book than we have time for tonight. From the time Einstein developed his theory of relativity, it is believed by quantum physicists all the way up to the present day that time on the quantum level doesn't exist. And that's hard for us to wrap our head around. But when people have an NDE, it may last a few seconds. It may last, you know, several minutes. It can even last longer. But time does not appear to be a factor. In fact, one of the common experiences, one of the common takeaways from a near-death experience is the sense that time is timeless. So people will come out of it saying we're all energetically interconnected, and not just people, we're connected with everything, which makes sense because we're getting back to the quantum sure. Field. But time appears to have no meaning in the way we would think of it. And I find that particularly fascinating when people bring that up. And it's interesting too, because I've seen this in mediumship readings. For example, I was doing a reading for this woman, and it was on the phone, and her mother spirit came through and started talking about a 7-year-old boy in this world, alive in this world, who's having a problem with his eyes and that she needs to get him to the eye doctor. And my client said, "Well, I don't have any children, but my sister has a 7-year-old boy, and I'm very close to my nephew, very close to my sister, and he's been complaining about his eyes lately." Wow. I said, "Okay, get him to the eye doctor." And the funny thing, Rob, is the spirit said to me right after that is, I start hearing Little Richard singing "Tutti Frutti, Ah Rudy, Tutti Frutti." So I'm telling her this, and she goes, "Mark, that makes absolutely no sense." She goes, "I know who Little Richard was, but I'm not a fan. I've heard the song, but makes no sense." I go, "Look, that's what I'm getting." All right. 2 weeks later, I get an email from her, and she said, "Mark, you're not going to believe this." And I always like when I get those emails. She said, "I called my sister and she told her about this." And she said, "Well, then we're making an appointment and taking my boy to the eye doctor." She said, "I accompanied my sister and her 7-year-old son to the eye doctor. And the second we walked into the doctor's office, on the radio, it started playing Tutti Frutti, Ah Rudy by Little
Rudy." Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well, now let's examine this.
Okay.
Electromagnetic soul. The soul is mm-hmm. pure electromagnetic energy. So spirits can come through and they can tell us about medical issues that we're having. So the EMS of this grandmother knew that her grandson had problems with his eyes and he needed glasses. So she was giving the message through me to make sure that he would be taken there. And because there is no time on the quantum level, spirits can perceive what you and I call the future. And radio waves are another form of electromagnetic energy. Yeah. So to guarantee that they were doing the right thing and were in the right time at the right place, she gave us the song that was going to be playing the second they walked in. Now, people say, oh, well, that's a coincidence. Really? Well, for those of you who say that that is a coincidence, figure out the odds of that particular song playing at that particular instant out of the millions of songs that exist. I think we're well past a billion to one.
Oh, and to even go further, that channel had to be playing on that doctor's radio station at that time. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And so that's why when I look at things like that, which happen, I start analyzing, because at first it's like, oh, that's really great. Then I realize, wait a second, radio waves, electromagnetic energy, theory of relativity, that on the quantum electromagnetic level, there is no time. So this is how the spirit was providing validation. So I love when things like that happen, and that bolsters my electromagnetic soul theory. Plus, there have been two major discoveries in the last year that give us scientific evidence of near-death experiences and the afterlife.
What are they, Mark?
On 2/22/22, and I can always remember that date, 2/22/22, in Tartu, Estonia, an 87-year-old man had a stroke, and he was rushed to the hospital and put on an EEG, an electroencephalogram, to measure his brainwave frequency, because that's what you do with the stroke victim.
Sure.
So he's being his brainwaves are being monitored, and then all of a sudden he has a massive heart attack and dies. And this is the first time in history that a human being died while an EEG was being administered. We have five different brainwave frequencies: gamma, alpha, theta, gamma, beta, alpha, theta, and delta. Gamma is ultra high functioning. Beta is activities of daily living, like what we're doing now. Alpha is when you relax, daydream, meditate. Theta is deep sleep. Delta is very little brainwave activity, but that's when you heal and fight infections and cellular regeneration. All five brainwave frequencies surged off the charts at the moment of death. And doctors around the world were mystified by this. And they said, this appears that there was a surge of energy leaving his brain at the time, which would tie into near-death experience and the possibility of continuity of life. But now it gets even better. So by November of 2022, a study came out from the Grossberg Center at New York University. The Grossman Center, of a couple hundred people. I think it was almost 500 different people, and at 25 different hospitals in the U.S. and the U.K. It was a CPR, cardiopulmonary resuscitation study. And so people who were in the hospital and they were going through CPR, they had EEGs put on them. And with CPR, the people would many times flatline, but then they're resuscitated. So it's a bit different than the guy in Estonia. Here's the thing. Everyone that flatlined, everyone that died, but then was resuscitated, they're all five brainwave frequencies surged off the charts. And 20% of them came back with a near-death experience of going through the tunnel, into the light, meeting the relatives, veridical perception, things that were happening in rooms in the hospital around them, hearing conversations. And so this has been heavily analyzed. And basically, the lead scientist, Sam Parnia, said, this appears to be scientific evidence that consciousness survives physical death. Now, he said, we don't know how long it survives because all of them came back. Now, I'm going to take this a step further. I think both of these, the study at NYU and the incident in Estonia, I think those both help to substantiate my electromagnetic soul theory, because that's what I've been saying. And it's a bummer that those studies came out after my book came out, because I would have loved to have included them. Of course, they'll probably be in the next book. And there's other studies. There's other studies underway.
Mark, as always, time flies by when you're with us, my friend. First of all, again, congratulations on all your success. It's always great speaking with you, Mark. what's next for you? You've got something on, what's the date of the event in June?
June 10th and 11th, that is Spiritual Awakenings International, and I'm inviting everybody here to please sign up for my newsletter by visiting afterlifefrequency.com. It's the same as my book. I just happen to have a copy here, but to make things easy, afterlifefrequency.com, and you can sign up for my newsletter, find out about signing up for a reading. I've got a number of online events and summits coming up on grieving and in different aspects. A lot of them are free. And also you can find out about the next time I'll be back here on the X Zone. So
Mark, you always have an open, you always have an open invitation. So take care of yourself, my friend. Safe travels.
Thank
you. And I look forward to the next time you and I meet here in the X Zone.
Thanks, Rob. It's always great being here.
Blessings to you, my friend. X Zone Nation, the one and only Mark Anthony. The name of the his new book is The Afterlife Frequency. The website is afterlifefrequency.com. I'll be back on the other side of this commercial break with the news as the X Zone continues with yours truly, Rob McConnell, from our broadcast center and studios here in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. If you'd like to send me an email, xzone@xzoneradiotv.com. It's the same email address that I've had for the past 34 years. 34 years of broadcasting each and every night. Thanks to you, the members of the X Zone Nation. Don't go away. We'll be right back.